Tween, feel free to introduce yourself.
Sure. I'm Sister Jenna, and I'm the founder and director of the Meditation Museum, a branch of the Brahma Kumaris, which is a non-profit with over 8,000 branches in 120 countries. I also am the host for a popular radio show called America Meditating, and in two upcoming television shows for network that will be released, I think, next year. And a friend to a lot of people.
Great. Yeah, I think that kind of brings us in. So a big part of kind of the conversation I wanted to have with you today was when I came in with the idea of like telling the story of the space and what your interaction is here with the community, because you know, you guys are a meditation museum, but it seems like one of my largest concerns in writing a piece about that would be to miscommunicate the idea that this seems to be a lot more going on than a traditional idea of like come visit the gallery and reflect on it and stuff like that.
I'd like to thank you, Nate, for being so observant, because we have over 200 programs per year here. That's a lot of programming when there's 365 days.
Yeah.
Last I counted in a year.
Yeah.
And it's normal for our American sort of a mindset, because we believe meditation is just a sitting down and don't do anything affair. One of my biggest agendas in this country is to educate individuals to believe and understand that meditation is an integrative approach. And it's a very proactive way of existing in one's life. And sometimes you hear people say, I don't have time to meditate. I don't believe it. It's just the conditioning of the stereotype about meditation. So the space really offers a unique experience. The moment you walk inside, you can feel you're in a different space. It's a different world here. In addition to that, there are exhibits here that we have rotated four already. And the one that's up is What If God Was Light? It's called the Being One exhibition. And it will be here until this space closes down next year, because Washington Property Development will be redeveloping this whole block starting next year, and we will be having to look for a new space to co-create this energy again.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm totally hunting for a space that I could use to continue with the story in downtown Silver Spring.
Great. And with that said, like, you guys have been here for quite a while, you were sharing.
Yeah, we're going on 6 years as the Meditation Museum, 10 years as the Raj Yoga Meditation Space right off of Georgia Avenue up by Forest Glen.
Okay.
And the lease was up there too. So in the Silver Spring area, we've been here for 16 years.
Wow.
And we have cultivated a culture of individuals who are stepping up in believing that their powers lie within themselves, and they simply have to focus on the right ideas and thoughts and belief systems about themselves and the way they're supposed to present themselves to the world in order to bring that reality to life.
Okay. So if you would like, or you think this is a appropriate time to discuss, what are some of the programs or sampling that you do offer? I understand that you lead several of those yourself, but you also have a lot of different authority figures or experts that come in and lead different coursework too.
Yeah, we have a lot of experts that come in, ranging from finance to health, to nutrition, to youth empowerment, to science, to corporate, to it's endless here. I don't think there's an area that we haven't covered in the 6 years or just the 16 years that we've been in Silver Spring. So we, because I'm a host of a very popular radio show, I'm privy to getting a lot of these very important people in our country to come into the space. So they come and they offer their talents and their expertise, from corporate to leadership skills to personal skills and development skills to even yoga.
Okay.
And yoga, dancing, music, acting, We've done everything here that can help youths and adults and families and everyone that comes in here. Whatever is your inner calling or desire to know more about you, there will definitely be a program here available for you. So, you know, the caliber of individuals that walk through here and the caliber of the programmings that have been offered are programs that you would pay thousands of dollars for in a setting that is conducive for that. And we have offered it free to the community.
Right, you guys operate off of a donation basis, like it's kind of whatever a person feels willing to or capable of offering.
There are two forms of donations. Like we have a donation box here, so when visitors come, they are welcome to put something in the box. And then there are the students of the teachings of the meditation that we offer here, who basically finance the space and really keeps it going. The donations that come in here aren't enough to keep us going.
Mm-hmm.
And so the students of the practice are the ones responsible for making sure these doors stay open,
okay,
making sure that the lights are on. Nobody's paying or nobody is giving towards anyone's salary. Everyone here, including myself, we donate our time and energy. And nobody gets a paycheck for anything that they do. Nobody. Even some of the folks that come in here who are experts, they have not so far charged me for their talents, even though I know GE would pay them $30,000 to do what they're doing here for free.
Yeah.
You know, so there is something that to me is breathing a new sort of a culture and dialogue, which is a culture of bartering and trust and the sharing between human beings, where their gifts are very important to each other.
Yeah.
So it reduces the energy of greed.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that I wouldn't like a corporate magnate to come here and donate $1 million. I swear to you, I'd open up 10 of these places in a minute.
Yeah.
Because the way that we function is so economical, it's not funny.
Yeah.
But the doors are open.
Yeah.
They stay open so far. So yeah, it's more than a museum. It is a rotating, moving, spiritual museum, and nobody leaves here unfulfilled and learned, where they leave here figuring something more about who they are.
Yeah. To that note, like one thing, like you said, you walk into the space and you can feel you're, you know, in a different place or a different kind of world as how things operate outside of here. And I just was wondering if that was something you could talk to, because like I got the sense that this is a very spiritual place, a very spiritual focus, and even if to a person that means the spirit within yourself and connecting with yourself, it's still very focused on that, versus necessarily an alignment with a certain faith system or religion. I mean, as you said, with this What If God Were Light installation, you have several religious beliefs represented throughout, and that's kind of the point of the piece, is finding the commonality amongst them.
Right.
But that was just for me walking in one day. I was wondering if that's a topic that you feel comfortable speaking more to.
Well, yeah, I'm never afraid to speak about my relationship with God, even though it's very private and personal. I think that we shy away from talking about God because people compete with their gods with each other. And I don't believe love is ever in the ring of competition. It is just the way that you express what you are as a person as a result of your love between you, the soul, and God. And so this installation was important for me because we're reaching to a point where we're so disconnected from the goodness within. I was speaking to an atheist the other day, and he was like, "Sister Jenna, I will rather not speak about God, but can I add another O in that word, and I will tell you that I believe in good." And I went, "You got it. That's it." So sometimes the languaging shuts us down and divides us. But if we decode the language, you will return to God's love and God's light. So this exhibit has garnered interfaith meetings, interfaith dinners, atheist, non-religious people, eclectic, new age, yogi people, all types of people to come in here because we are spiritual. We don't hold one particular religious belief. We believe in focusing on the source, the seed that created this tree of humanity. And that seed to me is called God, the supreme energy, the love of human souls. So if I'm connected in relationship to God, the supreme being, then that means I'm connected to everyone on the tree. If I'm connected only to a part of the tree, but I'm not connected to the seed, then I might only feel comfortable being on that part of the tree where I can only relate to that tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So it negates my ability to learn so much more about the rest of the tree. So I'm hoping that when folks come into the Being One exhibit here, which we'll have up until next year, June, that people will start to just really find an interest in valuing the stories of people's path.
Yeah.
And what's at the root of everyone's story? Love, the desire to be free, you know. And so the space opens, or the space fosters for everyone, I think, a reduction of the fear of not only another person's belief system, but the space fosters a fear in you, perhaps altering the way that you see God within yourself and in another. So then when that fear is gone, you just really end up with love and honor and trust. One of my greatest friends, I've been at the deathbed of priests and gurus and rabbis who just say, "Sister Jenny, could you just come and be with me? It's their last breath." They didn't ask for, you know, one of their own people. They asked for me to come and sit with them. So it's because you're neutral. Neutral means I embrace everyone, but I'm still my own.
Yeah.
You don't lose anything if you're coming from virtues and love.
Yeah.
So the space, you can feel it when you come in. I'm not really attached, but when you create an atmosphere so beautiful and so subtle, the people's thoughts and vibrations collectively created that atmosphere. So to know that that's going to go under, you know, like, okay. But then wherever we go, we take it, but it takes time to build too.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that would have to make it harder, is like, this is a space or an energy that's been cultivated
yeah.
for so long, like it's fertile soil or something, you know. So I can see that being a hardship or a hard part of the process when that's such an important part of what you're trying to offer for people.
You know, Nate, the amazing thing is that every year we have, like, this is without major public marketing or publicity. And yes, I'm in the news a lot, but that's not because they're running to the Meditation Museum to see me. It's because of certain current issues. But on an annual basis, the least amount of folks that walk through these doors is 5,000.
Wow.
The least. And they're from all over the world.
Yeah.
The least. I'm not even talking about last year. I think we had at least 23,000 that came in.
That's,
you know,
incredible.
So think about its contribution in a community.
Yeah.
And what it's actually doing in the community.
Yeah.
You know, when you've got such an energy here doing what it's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think what an interesting point you brought up, talking about the like the idea of trying to get even more people to feel comfortable, walk through the door, know about it, and I guess where the new door will be. But I think what would potentially be difficult is this is a space that will definitely make you ask questions to yourself, and mm-hmm. sometimes that can be the hardest barriers to get through. And I think that's why I'm really appreciative that you want to sit down and have this conversation, because I think that's, you know, the format to kind of appropriately deliver that story, that, you know, aspect of what is the space about versus someone reading it and being able to take their interpretation off of that.
Yeah.
Because it is a very, you're offering a resource to people, like, you know, come use the space how you want to. You have a quiet room where people are free to come in, and you just use the space how they need to, however long, to collect themselves and feel better than when they walk out, and then you offer all these like coursework, and then you still have the component of the museum, which is a beautiful installation, but it just was part of that atmosphere of the space rather than kind of what the focal point was. You know, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to like focus on that messaging.
Thank you, and I appreciate you saying that. You know, one of the installation is one little boy, the little Buddha, child innocence in meditation, and it was donated by the last remaining Buddhist monk sculptor in South Korea.
Oh wow.
So when I was in South Korea, we had tea together. I went to his beautiful museum, and he went into his little cupboard of his best pieces, and he donated that when he knew about the meditation museum. So that's in the corner of the museum. And another piece, which is one of my favorite, is of Dadi Prakashmani, where on June 10th, former Mayor Anthony Williams declared Dadi Prakashmani Day a day for peace in the nation's capital. And that sculpture was commissioned by Clarice Sever, who has done a lot of wonderful work in the city. And that's another one of my favorite pieces, which was designed in her memorial, because she passed away in August 2007. But every year since we got the proclamation from former Mayor Anthony Williams, we have initiated projects in the city focusing on values, peace, tolerance. Some of the gifts of Georgia Avenue.
Yeah.
I do a session every morning at 6, and that's always my reminder that I'm on the city, I'm living in the city. So since June 10th, 1999, when we were first given the proclamation at the National Press Club, we have sponsored, coordinated, and initiated 15 initiatives in the city.
In Silver Spring?
In Silver Spring, in the metropolitan area.
Gotcha.
So from planting trees, where we have a peace tree planted on the grounds of the Capitol, we also have a peace tree planted on the grounds of the Department of Defense, which is really important. And to artwork done by children, where we collected values from all the embassies and people from all different countries. And we hoisted those values on banners with artwork done by children in D.C. and put those up around the city. That project was called Envision the City of Values. We have gone into the urban communities and invited children to choreograph a dance that would stimulate peace in the environment, and that was hilarious, and they did a great job. And we had a big event on the mall right by the Capitol Reflection Pool. And we did a Kites for Peace, where we purchased kites and had children and families design kites with artwork and blessings, paint the kites, and they could choose to donate those kites to children in war-torn countries. That went to Georgia, to Iraq, to Afghanistan, to the Congos. So we've donated thousands and thousands and thousands of kites to kids who have become victims of war. And all of it from our culture of spirituality. You see, again, earlier on in our meeting before the recording, a lot of people think meditation spirituality is very selfish. It's just to sit and fix you. But there's something that happens when you start to pay attention to the narrative that's going on in your head as a result of your choices. That if you start to create a very, if you start to create positive and pure choices, then your life becomes more of service to humanity rather than somebody who takes from it.
Yeah.
We teach that here. This space, every one of our spaces offer that as a narrative.
It's great.
It's amazing.
I think, and as far as just Silver Spring goes, I think that's a lot of value. Same values that we share too, is just like trying to do what you know, can get people to experience life again and do that with connecting to the city around them and the resources around them, the opportunities.
Right, right.
And it's like you said, I think a big part of meditation, which I have not done a ton of, my experience was more in like acupuncture.
Right.
I believe there was a large part of meditation component to that.
Sure.
But it settles you in the moment and gets you to stop trying to think 5 steps ahead or 5 minutes from now or 5 hours from now, whatever. And, you know, get you to react and be with yourself in that time and in the world around you, which a lot of times is where you find the solutions to whatever it was you were worried about anyway.
So true. I have to tell you, one time a young man came in here and he was soliciting. And for some reason, Sister Gita, who's the assistant director here, decided that she would let him in, and for some reason she wanted me to meet him. So he was doing some commercial or something and he wanted help, and we met, and he started to come a little regularly, and I think after about a month or two I came to find out that he was living in his car. He said he was homeless. So we live in McLean, which is an area where every house there's like over 1 million or 2, and there is a house next door to our ashram in McLean, which is like a $1.5 million house, but it was empty, and I used to take care of the old man that was there. And I just asked the daughter, he doesn't have anywhere to live, could we just have him just stay there, and I'll try to see if he can get his act together and get a job, and I think he has the potential. So by then, he was moved in, he lived in this huge house, he took care of it. Now he's got a job, he's got his own apartment, he's got his own, he's driving, he's doing well, he's just been to India and back. It's like there's a success story. It was 4 years in the making, but whatever baggage he was carrying before he came in the door, 4 years later, the man is up and running. That's just one of the many cases.
Yeah.
You know. I've got, you know, people in high political positions and just stressed out, kind of like, I'm not quite sure if I can continue anymore. They're fine. I've got wives who just can't handle their marriages anymore. Now they can. There were kids and youths that used to come here. There's one, and these are just specific cases that are coming up. He had bipolar, his mother didn't know what to do. He seemed so violent, so disturbed. He's working, he's got a great job, he comes in every day for lunch, meditates, goes out, listens to his, he's doing great. So when you get a handle on yourself and you start to connect to the source, to God's love, and not only that, but you begin to understand the importance of performing actions that are charitable, it somehow sets you up to having a better life. Again, that's what we offer here.
Yeah.
So whether you've got your act together and you're a political bigwig or a corporate bigwig or a young man living in your car or you've got bipolar or you're a woman who's thinking on getting a divorce or you're just a youth just trying to figure out what it's all about, I don't know what it is, but the space will help you. It'll bring things in perspective.
Yeah.
We also go out and do things in corporations and do stress reduction programs and things in schools for intervention programs. And we have the Pause for Peace plaques that we put up in all the business spaces, which we'd love your support on so we can get them all up. You just get a Pause for Peace plaque. It's for free. We donate that from the museum. And wherever you put that up in your business or in your office, just to remember to pause for peace. Eventually, if you get a lot of people valuing peace within themselves, you will start to co-create an atmosphere and a society of peace wherever you go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the idea of just turn one light on at a time.
And then the whole thing, exactly, yeah.
Well, I think just there's a couple of basic questions that we try to ask people.
Sure.
And I think you've just answered one, but just to make it look like I'm doing my job, What is the experience you want people to have, maybe when they first enter this space?
I would like them to stop running away from themselves. I like that when they come into the meditation museum, they pause and they look truthfully at the core of their beings and see the most beautiful person sitting there authentically, and that they leave here using that person in their relationships and in everything that they do. That's what I'd love for people to do and experience when they come here.
Great.
Yeah. It would make the world a whole lot easier to get along with.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a fair point, something that's been brought to light a lot recently. It's just like a lot of the issues and kind of hate and stuff can stem from within, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, great. That's a phenomenal answer. And then I think our last question is just kind of a two-parter, which for your you guys, it might be a very loaded answer, but how has Silver Spring changed in the time you've been here, and where would you like it to go?
No, it's changed a lot. Being here for 16 years, I can recall a very simple, small town, Silver Spring. And when Doug Duncan played a very instrumental role, I believe, in establishing Discovery Communications to move from Podesta to Silver Spring, it just rippled through this area of just making this whole area vibrant. This is my interpretation of what I've seen. So what I've seen is a place where people are invited to be a family. You ever been down by that, the pool, no, the fountain by Ellsworth?
Mm-hmm.
And you just walk out there and you see families there. Bedouins Plaza, you see families and friends. It's a family downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I've not seen any other downtown so family entrenched, which is huge in a culture where everyone is so isolated now.
Yeah.
So that's a huge plus
to
Silver Spring's vibrancy at this time. The fact that you can get so many cultures here opens everyone up to be able to learn more about the things that we hold in common. That's another plus. The third thing is that we're here, and we hope to stay here if we find a location by next year. And I think I'd like to see the downtown Silver Spring area to continue on this path that it's on, where it is a family entrenched downtown, you know, creating a lot of family values and vibrancy and culture and safety. It's walking down the right path, and I think it needs to continue to do that. I don't think it needs to become too aesthetic, too built up, too organized. I think it's perfect, but it just needs to keep continuing to invite the voices of various cultures within the community.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I don't have too much to other questions to ask, but are there any events or anything coming up that you would like to share with people?
Yeah. I mean, there are always events going on here.
Yeah.
So the best thing that I could recommend is for folks to get onto the meditationmuseum.org website and see all the activities that take place. That's one. The second thing is that we have lunchtime meditations, morning times meditations, and programs. Again, the website will give you directions. the America Meditating Radio Show, which is broadcast from here, has been launching a few initiatives. Like one was the Om Challenge to invite people to see if they can set an intention and try to chant Om, which is a sacred sound of silence and peace, for 60 seconds. And if they can't do it, then they can nominate someone to out-Om them. And then we're also requesting folks that they can text 41444 and keyword OM to make a donation towards any of the peace projects that we offer at the Meditation Museum. And so it's been a cute little initiative, and anyway, if you Google Om Challenge, you can go to the Facebook, Twitter handle, and the YouTube website. But I think more than anything else, I'd just like the community to not just walk by it, because I know a lot of people, they will come in like 2-4 years later. I pass by it all the time. I just didn't know it was so beautiful inside. That I would love for the community to just come by the minute you see the sign. Just come in.
Yeah.
Even if it's just to touch base. The moment you step in, you're going to feel you're in a different world here.
Great. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome, Nate. It's glad to have you.